Blog Talk Radio. the late, great Dan Fogelberg and his classic Same Old Lang Syne. Live from Dallas, Texas, I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report, a review of 2012. It is December 31st, 2012. Happy New Year's Eve to everyone, of course. And joining me, as always, my partner and co-host, Jeff Rivers. Happy New Year, Jeff.
Hey. Yeah, Happy New Year, Chad. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And how many seconds was that again?
I said 29.
It's amazing because Dan Fogelberg's, his instrumental, the leader there, sounds a lot like you in that song. So, yeah, wow. This is our last show of, well, not only of the year, but of season two, and which was a longer season than what we'll typically do. This is actually our 76th episode, so I think I did 48 in the first season, so definitely much longer. And our new season starts on Friday, January 4th, so we're looking forward to that, the debut of season three. We are going to review the year, a lot of it anyway, of course. There's just so much to review. This has been a very, I don't know what word you would describe this year, Jeff, roller coaster?
Roller coaster year. I just can't tell you how many deaths, celebrity deaths we've had. It's just been a deadly year, too.
And we'll focus a lot on that. We'll focus definitely a lot on that in this episode. A couple things I did want to mention, though, right off, is some news just came down earlier. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has been diagnosed with a blood clot between her brain and her skull behind her right ear. And I know that she is, they have her on blood thinners, and so we certainly want to wish her the best. Yep. That's just very scary. Anytime something like that happens. Also, I wanted to wish former U.S. President George H.W. Bush a recovery as well. You know, he's been very ill and in a Houston hospital. And in politics, Jeff, it looks like the United States will be going over that fiscal cliff. But much like William Shatner in the Priceline commercials, I believe we're going to be climbing right back up the next day or two, from what I understood. So,
yes, thank goodness. It's still in the works anyway.
They're not, from what I understand, the House is just not voting on it today. I believe an agreement has been reached, and so it is going to be averted. But you know, we're gonna go over it, but like I said, we're gonna climb back up. But the way I understand it,
that's what it's not like. Yes.
So
the House is supposed to meet at noon tomorrow, and
right.
And they've still got a couple of things to work out. I understand, but it sounds like they're optimistic that they're going to come to an agreement. So.
Yes, definitely. And speaking of, you know, is a review of 2012. What a year, an election year. In politics, you know, the year started out with the primaries. Of course, President Barack Obama, being the incumbent, did not have a primary challenger, so the Democratic primary was pretty boring. Nothing, you know, going on there. On the other side, however, it was a totally different story. The Republican primary was a show. That was a bloodbath, I think, would be fair to say, Jeff. And it just seemed like every week it seemed like somebody different was in the lead or in the beginning, you know. It was just amazing between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich. It took a lot longer than Mitt Romney wanted to to seal that nomination. And I think, you know, by the time he did, a lot of damage had been done. And we've seen this in the past. You know, that's the way primaries go. It, you know, you basically, it's like a, someone described it before as a family fight. And the one that can drag themselves to the door, you know, and get that their bloody body across the doorway will win. And then you support, you know, end up supporting them anyway. And he did bounce back from that, and actually made it a, you know, a pretty formidable race against President Obama. He had some a lot of gaffes that ended up, I think, hurting him in the end, especially that 47% mark. I think that was probably the biggest blunder of the presidential election. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, he was hard to talk himself out of that one, I think.
It really was. And you know, President Obama himself, you know, went down there, that first debate, made an opening for Mitt Romney. And that, I think after that, that was the tightest the race ever was, because after the second and third debate, President Obama managed to get a hold back on that lead, that slim lead that he had, and he carried that on into victory. And in the U.S. House of Representatives, it was Republican, and it stayed Republican. And the United States Senate was Democrat, and it stayed Democrat. And all that, Jeff, for, you know, the small price of $6 billion spent in this year's election overall, when you take in everything, all to get the same thing you had before. So, you know, I laugh about it. It's really not funny. It's pretty sad. You know, that's the name of the game is in politics. You and I know that, and as well as our listeners, is money. And you know, it's how much, you know, money plays a big part in it. But I just think about what could be used, that money could be used for, you know, as you could say that about a lot of things, but that's a lot of money to get basically what you had to begin with. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a lot of things you can do with that kind of money.
Absolutely. Also in political news this year, former presidential candidate George McGovern, of course, the very, very well-liked senator from South Dakota. He was the Democratic presidential nominee in 1972. He passed away this year, and he was very well-liked. That's actually where President Bill Clinton got his start. He was the Texas campaign manager for him that year, which he said was not an easy job, and I can imagine. So, up against a very popular at the time, this was before the Watergate scandal broke, you know, Richard Nixon was a popular incumbent. So, yeah, that's pretty fascinating there. In sports, in the NFL, the New York Giants defeated the New England Patriots 21-17 in the Super Bowl on February 5th in Indianapolis. They won't be repeating that in this coming year. So they'll hold on, you know, they can still hold on to that until that, you know, changes, absolutely. And the National Hockey League, the Los Angeles Kings, won its first ever Stanley Cup by defeating the New Jersey Devils 4-2. They won't be repeating that. They won't be repeating that this year, it doesn't look like, because there's not going to be a season. So, which is, again, that's, you know, what can you say, Jeff? That's just so sad. And it seems like we've seen this in every major sport, some kind of strike. Also in football this year, we had the replacement refs and that debacle, you know, in the first, and they ended up getting that back together. We saw the NBA at the end of last year. You know, they had a short season due to a strike. So, you know, it hurts so many people when something like that happens. In the NBA, the Miami Heat defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder 4-1 in the NBA Finals. LeBron James was the MVP, so congratulations to them on that. And in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants swept the Detroit Tigers 4-0 in the World Series, which was their second in 3 years. So congratulations to all those teams. in pro sports there. In college sports, on January 9th, the Alabama Crimson Tide defeated the LSU Tigers 21-0 in the BCS National Championship game in New Orleans. In basketball, the Kentucky Wildcats won its eighth national title by defeating the Kansas Jayhawks 67-59. And also in the NCAA in women's basketball, the Lady Bears of Baylor won its second national title, defeating Notre Dame 80-61. And Jeff, the Lady Bears finished their season 40-0, becoming the first team in NCAA history of either sex to win 40 games in one season. And that's a great team overall, but of course they have that superstar Brittany Griner. And if you've ever, you know, I've never seen a woman play basketball the way she does. I wouldn't want to take her on. Let's put it that way. And I'm sure there's, so speak for a lot of guys that we could say the same thing. In the College World Series, the Arizona Wildcats down the South Carolina Gamecocks for their fourth title. So congratulations to all those teams. You know, it's tough because there's a lot of competition in the pro and in the college world in sports. So anytime you can get a championship, it's certainly hard to repeat, but it's hard to get to begin with, you know?
Definitely.
Diving into, like we talked about earlier, too, that so many, Jeff, I know they say as you get older, more and more people die, but I have never seen a year like 2012 as far as celebrity deaths. In January, we lost, at 90 years old, Johnny Otis. He wrote and recorded the R&B classic Willie and the Handjob, and for decades evangelized black music to white audiences as a band leader and radio host. He died on January 17th. On January 20th, Etta James, at age 73, and of course she was the blues singer best known for her performance of the enduring classic At Last, which is, enduring is an understatement, that's an outstanding song. In February, we saw Don Cornelius at age 75. He was the host of Soul Train, and he helped break down racial barriers and broaden the reach of black culture with funky music, groovy dance steps, and cutting-edge style. And he died on February 1st of that month. And the most shocking death, though, Jeff, of the year, I think, for anyone, I think most people would agree, was Whitney Houston. And this is Whitney Houston's signature song.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And treat you kind, and I hope you have all you dreamed of, and I wish to you joy and happiness, but above all,
signature song, I Will Always Love You, written by Dolly Parton and performed just beautifully by Whitney Houston. And Jeff, I think everyone was stunned by that death more than any other this year. When we've seen Whitney, recently, it seemed like she was back and looked better. You know, there were a lot of people that talked about her voice not being there anymore or the same, but she did make another CD 2 or 3 years ago, and it had a minor hit on it, and it was pretty decent. Her voice was lower, but I think everybody thought that she had kicked that drug habit, and when the autopsy reports and the toxicology reports came back, it was just sad. You know what I mean? And because that is an illness, and you know, we've all known people, whether it be family or friends, who have struggled with drug addiction or alcoholism, and it's a tough thing to beat. And unfortunately, she was not able to do so. And at age 48, I didn't see that coming at all. Very sad. Also very sad, in 46 years as Penn State's coach, Joe Paterno conducted what he called, quote, the great experiment in which academics and athletics were intertwined. He won 409 games along with national championships in 1982 and 86. At the same time, his players consistently had among the highest graduation rates in the NCAA. But that all came tumbling down because of a child abuse scandal involving longtime defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky. Paterno was heavily criticized for not informing police of potential child abuse. Penn State fired Paterno, and the NCAA vacated 111 of his victories. At age 85, he died on January 22nd of lung cancer. And, you know, again, Jeff, that's very sad. And, you know, he was heavily criticized for not informing the police. But in his defense, he did inform Penn State, the authorities at Penn State, that he did follow protocol. He just didn't, when nothing was done, he didn't do anything else about it. You know what I mean? And that's where they came down on him. And so many people have speculated that, you know, football was his life. His wife said so. And when that all, you know, he died pretty quickly after that all happened, if you remember. So,
sure it was ironic.
Very, very. Yeah, it really is. It really is. That's tough stuff there. Also, Earl Scruggs, at 88 years old, the bluegrass legend and banjo pioneer who profoundly influenced country music with Bill Monroe in the 1940s and later with guitarist Lester Flatt. He died on March 28th. And they're famous for doing the Beverly Hillbillies theme song, Jeff. So that's Earl Scruggs was definitely a great bluegrass pioneer for sure. In April, we saw Thomas Kincaid, the artist whose paintings of idyllic landscapes, cottages, and churches have been big sellers for dealers across the United States. He was only 54 years old. He died on April 6th. Following that was Mike Wallace at 93. He was a dog CBS reporter who took on politicians and celebrities in a 60-year career highlighted by on-air confrontations that helped make 60 Minutes the most successful primetime television news program ever. And that was on April 7th that he died. And, you know, he was very combative with Barbara Streisand and just several. That one stands out to me because I know that he told her one time he didn't like her. And she said the same thing about him. And So, he was incredible, an incredible reporter, and definitely be missed. Another one of the biggest deaths of the year, Dick Clark.
We're going hopping, we're going hopping today, when things are popping, a Philadelphia way, we're going to drop it, on all the music they play, on the bandstand. We're going swinging, we're going to swing in the crowd, and we'll be clinging, and floating high as a cloud, the phones are ringing, my mom and dad are so proud, I'm on bandstand. And I'll jump and hey, I may even throw up my handstand, because I'm on the American bandstand. When we dance real slow, I'll show all the guys in the grandstand. What a swinger I am on American. My baby and me on the bandstand.
Performed by Barry Manilow for Dick Clark and his very famous show, American Bandstand. Dick Clark died on April 19th at age 82. The ever-youthful television entrepreneur who helped bring rock and roll into the mainstream on American Bandstand and later produced and hosted game shows and the year-end countdown from Times Square, as well as many award shows. And I know tonight, Jeff, that ABC is doing a special honoring Dick Clark and his life, which is so deserved. Because if you remember, one of my big criticisms of the Emmy Awards this year, it was a joke, I thought, their honor of him.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. And that song just brings back so much memories. And wow, you know, I wish they would have done more too, because he just has so much to commemorate in his life and his, you know, what he did, you know, he just did so much.
Well, and Ryan Seacrest has said himself that this tonight's going to be very difficult because it's the first time that he's going to be doing the countdown by himself, and you know, that's exactly what Dick Clark wanted. He wanted to pass the torch to Ryan Seacrest. He had great respect for him. And because they've been co-hosting it together, you know, for years now. And Dick Clark would, you know, he had a limited role, but he would still do the countdown because he was his speech was impaired because of the stroke he'd had. But, you know, he made remarkable comeback from that, you know, where he was able to actually because at one time that he was not, you know, strokes are funny things because some people can you recover from them completely, and then others just, you know, not very well at all. And he did manage to come back and be a presence on that show that he started, the Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. And he just spanned so many generations, Jeff. The $25,000 Pyramid was a great show. And, you know, and an inspiration for to me for what, and you as well, for what we're doing here. You know, he just embodied
but
great.
Also, you know, also TV's bloopers and practical jokes, you know.
Loved it. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely, just loved it. Just he just had his hand on everything. Just a great guy. Also, in May of this year, Adam Yauch, at the young age of 47, also known as MCA, the gravelly voiced rapper, helped make the Beastie Boys one of the seminal groups in hip hop. And he died on May 4th. You know, the Beastie Boys were outstanding, Jeff. I know when you and I were in high school, you got to fight for your right to party. That was big stuff. So, you know,
definitely.
And another that one really surprised me. You don't expect someone to just drop dead in their 40s. You know, that's tough stuff. George Lindsay, at age 83, he made a TV career as a grinning service station attendant named Goober on the Andy Griffith Show and Hee Haw. He died on May 6th. And Jeff, I didn't realize that. And, you know, until I was just preparing the show, that Goober was actually the same character. He played Goober on Hee Haw. I forgot that. I remembered him being on Hee Haw, but I didn't remember him being the same character that was on the Andy Griffith Show. So he basically, that was his career, was playing Goober. And Goober was the replacement for, I believe, when Jim Nabors left, who was Gomer Pyle, left Andy Griffith, they brought in him. If I remember that correctly. Does that sound right to you?
It sounds right. It does. It's so long ago.
it really has. Later in that, say on May 9th, Vidal Sassoon, the celebrity hairstylist whose 1960s wash and wear cuts freed women from endless teasing and hairspray, he died at 84. And of course, you know, Jeff, for our generation back in the day in the 80s, it was the Vidal Sassoon mousse. You remember the, I haven't smelled it in a long time, but that's one of those scents that if I smelled it, I would recognize it immediately. And, of course, the tagline, if you don't look good, we don't look good. You know, who could forget that? So, you know, big, big one there. On May 17th, the queen of disco, Donna Summer, whose pulsing anthems such as Last Dance, Love to Love You Baby, and Bad Girls became the soundtrack for a glittery age of drugs, dance, and flashy clothes. And that was also a surprising one, and we'll of course close the show with Last Dance appropriately. But that one, you know, she kept that quiet, and that's why that was a surprise. And so, just another huge star there, you know.
Exactly.
And just very sad. And 3 days later, Jeff, one of the members of one of the biggest groups of all time. The Bee Gees, Robin Gibb. And here's Robin Gibb and his brothers Barry and Morris and one of their number one hits. late Robin Gibb, one of the three Bee Gees whose falsetto harmonies powered such hits as Stayin' Alive and Night Fever, and much like Donna Summer, defined the flashy disco era. And that song, actually, Too Much Heaven, Jeff, all the proceeds of that went to UNICEF, and that was also a big number one song. He died on May 20th. In June, Catherine Joosten, character actress best known as Karen McCluskey on Desperate Housewives and the president's secretary on The West Wing, she died on June 2nd at age 72. And also dying on June 2nd, wisecracking British entertainer Richard Dawson, who was among the schemers in the 1960s TV comedy Hogan's Heroes and later the contestant-kissing host of the game show Family Feud, and in my opinion, one of the best hosts, game show hosts ever, and certainly of that show, and one of the best contestants ever on a show before that. If you remember, and what's sad is we're old enough to remember Match Game or Match Game PM, whichever. And he was, everybody always picked him because he was so good at it.
He was so good at it.
Yeah.
Wanted me to pick Richard Dawson.
Absolutely. Every time. Oh, wow. Okay. Also, on June 27th, Don Grady at age 68, one of television's most beloved big brothers as Robbie Douglas on the 1960s hit My Three Sons. And in July, the first big one to go, the day before the 4th of July, on July 3rd, Andy Griffith. Timeless, the theme from the Andy Griffith Show. At age 86, he died on July 3rd, and he made homespun Southern wisdom his trademark as a wise sheriff in the Andy Griffith Show and later a rumpled defense lawyer in Matlock. And, Jeff, we have a cat, Rusty's his name, and I can whistle that theme, and he will come running every single time. And can you say, is there anything bad to say about Andy Griffith? I mean, is there anyone that didn't like him?
Such a good person.
Just outstanding. Yes. He will never be forgotten. On July 8th, at age 95, Ernest Borgnine, beefy screen star known for blustery, often villainous roles, but who won the Best Actor Oscar for playing against type as a lovesick butcher in Marty in 1955. A great actor there, too. He'll definitely be missed. At age 92, on July 16th, Kitty Wells, the singer whose hits such as Making Believe and It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, she made her the first woman a superstar of country music. And this is before, you know, Loretta Lynn or any of those people. So huge there in the country music world. Next up, Sherman Hemsley.
Well, we're moving on. Get up there.
Yes, he and Wheezy finally got a piece of the pie. Of course, they started out, Sherman Hemsley played George Jefferson of the Jeffersons, and, you know, he was very, very bigoted, but he was one of TV's most memorable characters and a symbol for urban upward mobility. And, you know, they started out as Archie Bunker's neighbors in Queens, and he had the dry cleaner. He and Wheezy and Lionel lived next door, and then they spun that show off after he got a chain of stores and moved to Manhattan, hence the theme song Moving On Up. He died on July 24th at age 74. And unfortunately was not laid to rest until months later. You know, we talked about that on one of the shows. Yes. It just was not cool. But Sherman Hemsley is just one of the funniest TV stars ever, Jeff. And I loved the Jeffersons. I loved All in the Family. And he also played had a pretty successful show called Amen after that as well. So. Yeah, he won't be forgotten for a very long time. In August 6th, Marvin Hamlisch, at age 68, one of the most prolific and successful composers for film, television, and stage, and principal pops conductor of the Dallas Symphony Orchestra, very famous man there, and outstanding. On August 14th, the second Sweat Hog, best known from this show.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here. Got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
From Welcome Back, Carter, that was Ron Palillo at age 63, the actor best known as the nerdy high school student Arnold Horshack on the show of the same name. And also this year, Robert Heggies, who played Juan Epstein, also passed away, I believe it's 62, and that was on August 14th. So, and that's, of course, where John Travolta, you know, first became famous as Vinnie Barbarino, and Gabe Kaplan was the teacher on that show. So are you old enough to remember that one, Joe?
I don't want to say.
Right. Some of these, I'm looking at these, I'm going, oh my God, how old are we here? Because again,
yeah,
I think you think, you're like, how can I remember this if this is from this year?
Right.
Okay, and then you realize, okay, moving on. This was a shocker. On August 19th, at age 68, Tony Scott, who was the director of such Hollywood blockbusters as Top Gun, Days of Thunder, and Beverly Hills Cop 2, and he actually committed suicide, and I don't think anyone saw that coming. Very sad there. Then there was Phyllis Diller, Jeff, at age 95. The housewife turned humorist who aimed some of her sharpest barbs at herself, punctuating her jokes with her trademark cackle. She died on August 20th. And, Jeff, as long as I can remember, even as a kid, she always was – it was self-deprecating humor, kind of like Rodney Dangerfield. She would joke about her facelifts and things like that. And just a hilarious woman and definitely a pioneer for female comedians, definitely. Outstanding and funny woman there. In September, Hal David, at age 91, he died September 1st, the stylish, heartfelt lyricist who teamed with Burt Bacharach on dozens of songs for movies, television, and a variety of recording artists in the 1960s and beyond. I know Dionne Warwick was one of his most famous. She sang just about everything that they, you know, produced. On September 3rd, at age 54, we lost Michael Clark Duncan, the hulking character actor whose dozens of films included an Oscar-nominated performance as a death row inmate in The Green Mile and many other box office hits.
very well loved actor there, and I know I just don't think anyone saw that coming at all. On September 25th, at age 84, Andy Williams, the silky voice crooner whose hit recording Moon River and years of popular Christmas TV shows brought him fans the world over, and you know, he had a place there in Branson, Missouri, and actually, my aunt actually was an acquaintance of his, so. Yeah, that was sad. And Moon River, Jeff, it's from the early 60s. There's something about that song. It's got some, you know, some hokey lines about Huckleberry Friend and stuff, but it's a beautiful song. And you know, many people have covered it, and it's outstanding. Great stuff. In October, October 10th, actually, at age 77, Alex Karras, the feared NFL defensive tackle who went into acting playing the lovable dad in the 1980 sitcom Webster and the cowboy who punched out a horse in the movie Blazing Saddles, which is, if you've seen that, very memorable there for him. And then in November, which ruined my Thanksgiving weekend, Larry Hagman. That's where country meets disco, and that's the first season of Dallas, the theme song, and I just love that. Absolutely. He died on November 23rd at age 81. The Fort Worth-born actor whose predatory oil baron J.R. Ewing on television's nighttime soap opera Dallas became a symbol for 1980s greed. His return to the series on TNT ensured its success as it enters its second season in January. And actually, January 28th, I believe, is when the second season starts, Jeff, and I think the ratings for that are going to be huge. I know he finished filming... I know he finished 5 episodes of this next season, and I think got into part of a 6th. And yes, and I've already been doing promos on TNT for Dallas with him in it, scheming up to the very end. And also, you've got to credit too. You know, he's so well known for that role, but he had a very successful run in the 1960s as Major Tony Nelson on I Dream of Jeannie as well. So a very versatile actor. So as did I, and both those roles are about as different as night and day. So it shows his versatility, and just a great man who will definitely be missed. Very charitable. In December, Jenny Rivera, 43, the California-born singer who became a superstar, adored by millions in a male-dominated genre of Mexican-American music, and she died on December 9th. And I wasn't real familiar with her. That was kind of like the Selena death, Jeff, if you remember back in the 90s. But, you know, as this story broke and came, you know, to fruition, she had many, many fans, mostly popular in Latin music. But a very shocking death there. I believe she was shot to death. And, wow. Yeah, very, very sad. All right. Next up, Jack Klugman. Jeff?
Thank you.
Quincy, M.E. That was a great show, Jack Klugman. He died on Christmas Eve at the age of 90. And, of course, he was a great character actor and was loved by millions as the messy one, Oscar, of course, in TV's The Odd Couple. And then after that was when he became the crime-fighting coroner in Quincy. And definitely. Also on Christmas Eve, Charles Durning at age 89, and the character actor best known for roles in Tootsie, also was a veteran of some of the fiercest combat in Europe during World War II. But the role he was that stands out that he's best known for, Jeff, can you play a piece of that? If you would
definitely
start that up.
Definitely.
Fellow Texan, I am proudly standing here to humbly see. I assure you, and I mean it. Now who says I don't speak out as plain as day? And fellow Texans, I'm for progress and the flag. Long may it fly. I'm a poor boy. Come to greatness. So it follows that I cannot tell a lie. Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I've come and gone. And ooh, I love to sweep around the white step. Cut a little swath and leave the people alone.
The great Charles Durning, and of course, from his the role there, that was from The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, where he played the governor of Texas. And Jeff, just reading about him, they were stunned that someone of his build, because, you know, he was a pretty heavy man, was so could dance and do some of the dance moves. If you remember that scene where he does that in the governor's mansion, he's pretty pretty good on his feet there. And and he played the typical. It was funny because he played the reporters after that. Of course, they'd be like, "What did he say?" And one of the ladies was like, "Not a damn thing, as usual." You know, it was a bunch of hence the sidestep. Which I've, you know, I say that so many times when we hear politicians give answers. Well, they throw in a bunch of big words, but actually never answer the question. That's why I call the sidestep.
Yeah, they say a whole lot to say absolutely nothing.
Absolutely, and that's where and I always refer back to Charles Durning playing the Texas governor, and the sidestep is what I call that, because that embodied that. Yeah, he just age 89 for him. Some long lives for some of these people. So you know, and finally also on December 26th, Fontella Bass at age 72, and she was a soul singer who hit the top of the R&B charts with "Rescue Me" in 1965, which was a great song. So just so many people there. A couple others I wanted to mention: Junior Seau in the sports world, Art Modell, of course, a longtime owner, and then of course the legendary Texas coach Darryl Royal. You know, who the field is named after. And there's even more, Jeff, that we could, you know, if we wanted to dive into. But that's you know, I didn't want to mire our listeners down too much in deaths of the year. But there were just so many, and I wanted to celebrate them more than anything, because, you know, we didn't really get a chance to hit all those as the year progressed. And I just think that they deserve that kind of tribute. And so, you know, hopefully people enjoyed it. And some of those TV theme songs, you know, I wanted to throw those in there too, because that, when you think of those people, you think of, you know, stuff like that. And so hopefully 2013 will be not, you know, my wish is to stop dying.
Exactly.
let's have a mellow year, and wish the best for 2013. Jeff and I want everyone to be safe tonight when you're going out and doing your New Year's festivities. You know, it is a great night to celebrate the end of a very roller coaster of a year, as we said earlier. And wish the best for 2013. And Jeff and I would definitely want to wish all of our listeners a happy new year. Thank you for joining us in this season. Like I said, we will be back on Friday, this Friday, January 4th, to start season 3. And we thank you so much for your support. And you can find Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can follow us on Twitter at The Chad Reports. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Thanks, everyone.